Silver Edition. I'm not sure exactly what's silver about it, but it's a Silver Edition nevertheless. I am Andrew. I'm joined this week by Ben. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm doing silverly great, thanks. And yourself?
Silverly great, yes. I'm quite silver as well. Whatever that may mean, we'll leave it up to the listeners to decide. And we are a duo again this week. We were hoping to have Leftos back with us, but he's still busy and recovering after the hard work of his studies and whatnot. So once again, you're going to listen to two people with Australian accents rambling on about basketball video games, and anything else that comes to mind.
We do hope we can keep you entertained.
Yeah. So this week in the NBL, and
It is the finals, isn't it, in the NBL?
It is the finals. I heard that the NBL TV stopped working at one point during the finals. I saw Andrew Bogut tweet about that. So that maybe just sums it up.
Yeah, that's how good our league is.
Yep. But fortunately, we do have a much better league to talk about. Professional league and an amateur one. Did you catch any of the NCAA championship game?
Sadly, no. What was I doing? I think I slept in, and then I found out that it was two teams with the ugly uniforms. So I was like, I'd rather save my eyesight. So I did it to protect my eyes.
You didn't care at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, once again, our predictions and. People who've listened to a few of the podcasts now probably know how wonderful our predictions are, going back to the trade deadline and All-Star Weekend. I think last week we picked the Orange Men, Syracuse. We showed our support for Carmelo Anthony. And, of course, out they went in the semifinals. So if you have a team that you'd like to see lose, just let us know in the comments and we'll pick them to win. You know, it doesn't matter what sport or anything. In fact, we'll just throw out a prediction and the opposite will come true. So let us know what you'd like to happen in the world, and we'll talk about it on next week's podcast.
We can start early with the Soccer World Cup for next year, isn't it?
Is it? I don't follow soccer that closely, so...
Nor do I. So I just know it's coming up because qualifications and we're qualifying's on for it. That's all I know, because for some reason that's one of the only international sports that some of our TV channels talk about.
Of course, or rugby 7, rugby 6, something like that, the Six Nations, or...
7 or 11 seven. Nations or something like that. No, excuse me. Yeah. So, yeah, it's...
Here we go, showing out great knowledge of sports other than basketball. But, how about those Dodgers?
I do find it odd that one of our sports channels here does have baseball on multiple times a week, considering how...
It's more pure than basketball in Australia.
Yeah.
I would say. So it is strange. Is that one HD?
Yeah. It's like they used to have the NBA, and they used to even have some NCAA games, like mainly in the Sweet 16 or the Top 4 a couple of years ago. But then they stopped, and it was probably why they're down $243 million.
Quite possibly, yeah. But let's not get sidetracked with Australian discussion, as we know that can only lead to bad things. But Louisville, the Cardinals, ended up winning the NCAA tournament, which was very nice for Kevin Ware, who we mentioned last week had that gruesome injury to his leg when he came down and it snapped rather badly.
Folded like a house of cards.
Fold up like an accordion for sure, but yeah, Louisville won, so he was able to cut down the nets. So that was a nice moment for him, and we wish him well in his recovery, as we said last week, because that was gruesome, absolutely gruesome. But I didn't actually watch the game either. I put it on, but I was working on a couple of things, working on a couple of computers in the workshop, and yeah, forgot about it basically. I don't follow the college game that closely, but I do want to get into it at some point and sort of see some of these players before they make the NBA. But with all the NBA coverage, that kind of takes up my basketball enthusiasm. I mean, I know there's some great stuff going on in EuroLeague. A lot of people talk about really good games over there, and that's on Foxtel as well, so I could watch that if I like, but it's mostly channel surfing when I catch NCAA. But so I can't really say anything about the game, and I guess you can't either since you didn't watch any of it. But I heard the officiating was kind of suspect, and Phil Jackson was tweeting throughout the whole affair. He's on Twitter now at Phil Jackson 11. Yeah, so
did you see Phil Jackson's first ever tweet?
Yeah, the championship rings that he can't type properly.
No, it's like a drunk tweet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny too because EA developer Scott Gallagher, he asked, where's Phil and all that stuff? And I actually sent a tweet to him a couple of days earlier, just before that. And I said, he's probably poolside drinking like pina coladas or something like that. Or drinking some cocktails in that by the pool or by the beach. And I think that just proved it with that drunk tweet. So, yeah.
Let's get into some community news, I suppose, just to get that out of the way. Not a lot of housekeeping matters this week. The rosters came out last week, as I said, and not really much else to say about that. People seem to be enjoying them, and thank you for the kind words and the encouragement and whatnot. It certainly took quite an effort to get them out. I won't lie, but as I said, I had a lot of help from the very talented patchers for those last few NBA Live games on PC, including DC311, who's been doing a lot of conversions for 05 and 06, really, really helped out there. I've just released a couple of ESPN intro logo patches today, just a little add-on. Someone pointed out to me on Facebook that I hadn't updated those with the new NBA on ESPN logos, so that's a little extra add-on that I've released today. And there'll be new rosters coming out probably the end of the regular season, just with a couple of transactions that have happened since. Apart from that,
The old version, or older version, is the EA graphics editor.
Yeah, dug up a couple of old updates this week for NBA Live 98, an NCAA roster, really old current roster from the 98 season that actually adds Michael Jordan to the game, which was a big deal. it's kind of funny when you play an NBA game these days, you don't, and the only players that are missing really are the bench warmers,
yeah.
Maybe a couple of rookies who don't make the cut. Well, of course, if there's a lot of players missing in the 2K's official rosters,
we've definitely highlighted that over the past few weeks.
Yes, but you don't see like a LeBron missing. It was funny back in the day, one of the biggest star of the game. And there was a reason for it. Michael Jordan retained the rights to his likeness and was asking too much money, but because he pulled out of the union and such. But it's kind of funny. We just took it for granted back in the day and always had to either create him or patch him in when we got the editors for PC. you can't imagine it these days. You know, not being able to play with Kobe or LeBron, having to put them in the game because they're not there by default.
I think it helps that I think a lot of the younger players now, they're gamers themselves. So yeah. I think it's sort of they're curious to see themselves in the game. I think the last generation and that.
Not as big on games.
Yeah, so they more see it as a more of a hindrance. And it's like, why have my likeness in there? Like the Charles Barkley incident, you know, he nearly sued EA. Well, he did sue EA Sports and all that stuff for having his likeness in it years ago and all that stuff. So things like that, you know, I think this generation is definitely more open to it because they do probably want to see themselves in the game and see how, I suppose, their ratings and how they're perceived in the game with their likeness and that. On not just the physicalness, like the way they look, but also how they perform. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the perfect example of that. I think I might have told this story before, but at the NBA Live 08 event in New York in 2007 EA flew me in for, Gilbert Arenas was actually at a launch party that we were part of as well. That they took us along to this launch party at a barbecue place. And So we're just there and we're watching Gilbert Arenas play the game with a couple of people, and he's basically just running down the court with himself every time and launching a shot. So he ended up scoring about 48 points on 50 shots or something with himself. And so yeah, you know, and they, when they say NBA Live 08 wasn't true to life, that's that one might have been accurate. But yeah, I do wonder when people, when players see themselves in the game and they've got like really bad ratings, like offensive awareness of 35 or something. Do they think just totally inept offensively? Like I get the ball and just fling it up into the crowd or something. You know, how offensively unaware am I? Yeah, it might be a bit insulting to some people sometimes. Yeah, some of the players, and having just completed the rosters and doing some of the rookie ratings and some of the bench warmers and D-League call-ups and such, who sort of rated a bit lower. I'm like, yeah, if they've ever played this, they might, who are you? Some guy from Australia making the rosters, never played in the NBA. Yeah, but, well, it is what it is. And as we've said before, you compare them to their peers, not what we can do. And if Kobe Bryant's a 99 in offensive awareness, someone who's scoring 2 points a game and 5 points a game per 36 minutes probably doesn't deserve much higher than a 40 or something.
Yeah.
So deal with it.
Oh, they can always sort of cheat and boost that.
Or change the rating himself.
Yeah.
That's the rosters are out. So look out for some new ones and hope you're enjoying them. Sorry it took so long. As I said, we'll see what I do beyond this season, but for now, enjoy a few more updates. The other story that we covered last week was the new NBA concept, the EA survey at EA Canada, and that's actually been picked up by a few other sites.
Yep.
Now, which is good, and it's nice that they're linking back to us. It's nice to break a story. Thanks again to Pat. For posting that and having the heads up on that. But, I mean, we pretty much went over it last week. There's no more information at this time. One of the media sites contacted EA, who had no comment at this time, and that's not surprising. They're obviously keeping it under wraps for now. Some people are speculating that it's new NBA Live. I still think, well, I suppose they could be showing it there, but I'm still thinking it's going to be mostly all stuff's going to be happening at Tiburon. And when they say new NBA concept, I mean, I still stand by what we said last week, that it's going to be either a new street, if anything, or jam, or something totally different rather than anything to do with NBA Live.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. I think it's... I'm really hoping it's an NBA street. I did state last week that I do miss playing those games in a really good version, like Street Volume 2 and all that stuff, so here's hoping.
Yeah. And actually, one of our members of our forum, Chris CP3 Paul, has actually been accepted. He'd fill out a survey, and was actually accepted to attend. He lives in the area, so he won't be able to say anything. I highly doubt that they'll let him say anything. There'll be non-disclosure agreements, as we said last week. But maybe if there is anything he can say, you can let us know. But I'm not holding my breath because it's obviously going to be kept under wraps.
Yeah.
And E3 said last week.
Yeah. And it'll be most likely just after E3 that we hear about it. So probably around July, we'll probably find out about what this concept could be. It sort of seems to be the run of the mill. Like, if you look at previous game titles from EA and that, for EA Sports and that, it's usually after E3. And around the draft time that we do hear about it, so
it's a good time to get in on it.
Yeah.
And get the off season hype.
Yeah, you know, so, something to fill in while we wait for that next
year season.
Yeah.
But congratulations to you, Chris CP3 Paul, and have fun visiting the campus and getting to play a game that's no one else is going to see for a while. So it's. That's always cool. You know, the community events that I've been to have been fun, and it's obviously been good to be able to provide the feedback to the developers and get the inside scoop. But it's just been cool to sort of see, you know, have a little bit of a glance behind the scenes and see how games are made and chat to the people who make them and get some hands-on time with them before anyone else does. So I Don't know if we have anything else in the community this week. Bit of a slow week in that that respect. But so I guess we should just move straight on to the week in NBA news.
That sounds good. So, seems like the conspiracy theory with the Lakers is going to lead them into the playoffs at the moment. They hold a 1 point or one game lead over Utah at the moment to make it into that 8th seed spot. So, yeah, not happy about that.
they were facing the Blazers today, yesterday when we were recording this. But, Kobe scored 47 points in 48 minutes, was it? Or was it 47?
I think he played the entire game. But I tell you what, the game against the Grizzlies the other day, I'd never seen him more exhausted on the court.
Yeah.
The last minute or so, he just looked wrecked, and obviously starting to show signs of the age. I think at that point in that game, he'd played about 42 minutes at that point. Yeah, he played a full entire game, 48 minutes today or yesterday against the Blazers. So, but
That's what Mike D'Antoni does. He did that a lot with the Suns, shortens the rotation to about 8 or 9 players max,
and
just sort of runs the starters into the ground. And for a team as old as the Lakers, you know, there's a couple of guys, Dwight Howard, when he's feeling healthy, he's still young enough to probably do it. But someone like Kobe, who's only 34, but has got a lot of mileage on his body, having been in the league since he was 17.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's carrying a lot of niggling injuries in that too. So I don't know. I don't think it's a smart move by D'Antoni. I know they're desperate to make the playoffs, but is it going to come at a risk?
Well, my feeling is that if they make the playoffs, and right, I picked them to make it last week, and it's looking more and more like they're going to hold on, is that they're basically going to get wiped out in the first round.
Yeah,
they might take a game, maybe two, if they really overachieve. But you see what the Thunder have been able to do to them most of the time this season. That they did beat them once, I believe, but the against the Spurs and the Thunder without home court advantage in the first round, I think they're out. So it's very much a token playoff appearance, which is well below what the organization and the fans alike expect and demand. It's kind of funny that they're trying so hard to get the playoffs, and I respect that. You know, I think you should compete to the last day, and try to get in there because hey, who knows? If the 1999 Knicks can make it through to the finals, then you never know. I mean, I couldn't count the Lakers out completely, but it just seems so unlikely that they'll make a Cinderella run.
Yep, I agree.
With everything else that's going on, the fatigue, the injuries, and they've got Meta World Peace back. Apparently, Meta World Peace is too sexy for his cat. another golden moment from the artist formerly known as Artest, to call him.
you gotta love it.
Yeah, and they. Question was he still hopped up on the painkillers?
He probably mixed that with a bit of the halftime henny, so which is not advisable.
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of not advisable, I mean, he's just had a torn MCL, wasn't it? Or
yeah,
torn MCL, or certainly it was something quite serious that he was expected to be out the rest of the season with his knee injury, and he's back so quickly. So on one hand, you admire his heart, but art in that decision, but not a lot of brains.
No.
I mean, it's they're fighting for the playoff spot for what may be a token playoff appearance and an early first round exit. And I don't know how many years he's got left. I know he's in his early 30s. He's been in the league over a decade. Maybe he's not planning to stick around, but how effective can he be? You know, we had this discussion about Kobe a few weeks ago. How effective can he be with the injury, and he's shaken off that ankle injury that he had. This is a much more serious injury to World Peace's knee, and he's at risk and certainly can't be going 100% out there. So, is it a good idea? Should he be out there? Or is basically, can any of us really make that call?
It's again, is it a sign at how desperate the Lakers are to make that 8 seed? I mean, the fact that they seem to be so willing to you know, fatigue or injure their players so much more just for just that token experience. So I think it's a saving face way of, look, we made it to the playoffs, the pressure's off us, instead of getting all that sort of hate with all that expectations that the Lakers do get. You know, I'm not going to lie, their fans are pretty demanding in a lot of ways, with expectations and that. So,
true.
So, yeah, is it a sign that this is just so they can get the fans off their back and say, look, we made the playoffs even despite all the chaos that was. Yes, we may have not performed well in the playoffs, but we got there in the end.
That's a good point. And certainly as they're trying to keep Dwight Howard around beyond next season, any kind of success, and saying, well, look, even through a tumultuous year, like you said, even through a tumultuous year, we made the playoffs. If things go a little bit better, then look what we can do. So, hey, re-up with us this offseason. Because the recruiting obviously starts if it hasn't already, to get Dwight Howard to remain with the Lakers. And, I could see him moving on if he hasn't really bonded with Kobe the way he'd like.
Yeah, especially...
Very different personalities. Yeah.
And there's been those incidents sort of just before All-Star and during All-Star weekend that we mentioned a few weeks ago and that, where the sort of mocking and that sort of thing, which did go down well with Kobe, especially at All-Star weekend from what the information that was brought out by the media and that. So, yeah, we'll be... I think it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep him. But I think Dwight Howard's out. Like, I think he's out of LA, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm 50-50 on it. I think he's got a pretty good situation there where Kobe maybe only have a year left and then it becomes his team. And he's there in the big market, which is good for his sponsorships and everything. But then at the same time, does he feel that they are going to be in any better position once Kobe goes and maybe Gasol gets traded or they start to blow things up? And maybe he is going to look at somewhere like a Dallas or even Atlanta, closer to home, and his friend Josh Smith, who's going to be a free agent as well at the end of this season and did not get traded at the deadline despite all our predictions to the contrary.
Yeah. probably the most disappointing trade deadline season ever, I reckon.
Yeah, certainly uneventful.
The Heat bench is still winning games.
Yes. And they've got over 60 wins now.
Yep.
So another 60 wins.
They set a franchise record with 62 wins.
Oh, that is a franchise record, is it?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they had it already topped that at some point.
Heat. No, 62, because they had a little image thing on their Facebook and Twitter thing today, stating that it was a franchise record. So.
Yeah, well, it's obviously been another fantastic season for them. 27 wins, as we said last time, ended by the Bulls, who of course are continuing to just trade off wins over teams they shouldn't beat with losses to teams they should, including left versus Pistons for the first time in 18 games. So, and we don't know when Derrick Rose is going to be back. So. Your team is definitely having the best luck this season, but I think we all could have predicted that one.
Yeah.
that one's a gimme, that
yeah.
one.
Like, as soon as I heard that Ray Allen and Rashad Lewis were joining the team and the fact that they were able to keep the guys that they had, and then the addition with Birdman, they probably are one of the strongest teams that I've seen now, I think. I still think they could potentially do with a true center in a lot of ways. A
bit more shot blocking and rebounding.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that real low post threat, sort of. I still miss the sort of 90s era with the big men like Shaq, Hakeem, David Robertson, and all that stuff. So,
I don't know whether we'll ever see it again, though. Do you reckon we will? Because the trend seems to be going away from it.
Yeah.
But it takes, like, we've had these great influx of point guards over the last few years. You know, what if the next we get a lot of talented bigs come through the college system in the next few years, we could see that again, perhaps.
Yeah, I think the game seems to evolve a lot. So maybe it might not happen in the next 5-10 years than that, because the point guard game is so dominant right now. But I know, I think coaches will try new strategies, and they'll try and... I reckon they could probably try and lure back that sort of 90s sort of style power big man again. I'd say it would happen again probably in the next 10, 15 years, yeah.
I guess all it takes is a couple of players who are good at it.
Yeah.
Really good. And to make it fashionable again.
Yeah, and it'd be the situation... How will the other teams respond to it, especially if they haven't really had to experience with the current generation and that of players? You know, they may never have been up against a power big man before, so it'd be a learning curve in for them in being able to figure out how to play against the style of play again, because it's I suppose it doesn't exist at the moment within the actual NBA at this stage. So yeah, would it be a shock to the system in trying to figure out ways to respond or not? So yeah.
Yeah, can teams actually adapt to it?
Yeah, exactly.
And whoever has that big, I mean, let's say the next Shaq comes along, could be the wherever he lands up could be the next dominant team.
Yep.
In the next 5 or 10 years, say, because they're the only ones that have got this powerhouse center that they can. Match as long as they can put some good players around him, a decent point guard to get in the ball and whatnot. But yeah, it definitely is the point guard's game at the moment.
Oh, New York have been playing well again. They're on a 13 straight game winning streak at the moment.
Yeah, so... the Knicks have sort of really. Really come alive. They were struggling for a while there. Was it 6 or 7 in a row they lost?
Yeah,
sort of
I think
about the All-Star break.
I think it could have hit double figures, but don't quote me on that. But it was, but yeah, they were in a slight slump for a little bit, but they seem to have gotten their act together again and started playing how they were at the beginning of the season. So, and because they were getting some decent wins back then. And decent win streaks as well. So, yeah.
Still not sure how they'll do in the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
Especially against the Heat. I mean, they've beaten them twice when they were healthy and once without LeBron and Wade. But playoff time...
It's a whole different story.
Yeah. And whether they can handle the physicality, because that's been the way to beat the Knicks this year, is to really beat them up. And it'll be interesting what happens against the Bulls, which is going to happen. The game is going down tomorrow. I'm recording this, but it probably will have already happened by the time this goes up. They'll be facing a very shorthanded Bulls team in Chicago. Conventional wisdom says the Knicks will get the victory, especially with the way the Bulls have been so inconsistent as of late because of how shorthanded they are. But the Bulls... Like their win over Miami, simply there it is. There that is again. we're able to do it simply through heart and hustle and physicality, and playing a rough style of play, and not being afraid to put their bodies on the line or commit the hard foul or take the contact. So it'll be interesting to see if they can pull out the win against the Knicks when that happens, and whether what that means for the Knicks going forward into the playoffs. Are they still have that that Achilles heel that you can beat them up, and they'll fold and be able to be beaten? Because obviously LeBron is capable of playing very physically. You know, whether they can get down and dirty and stop him, or at one end, or actually take advantage of him at the other. When he's try to out-muscle him. So, I'm still not sold on the Knicks, but I think if anyone's going to knock them off, or knock off the Heat, it's probably going to be them, simply for the way they've been able to play them so far this season.
Are they going to be 3-point reliable? That's a thing. And
yeah, because if they're falling, they've shown how well they are at beating teams when they're setting records and such with a 3-point shot.
I'm just trying to get some information just to try and confirm it. But I think this is one of the first times that the Knicks have won their conference. Like in the Atlantic, isn't it? They're in, so...
Oh, no, because they were the top seed in 93.
Okay.
When the Bulls' third championship. So they would have won the Atlantic division then.
Okay. I was just...
Definitely, it'd be the first time since it went to six divisions.
Yeah.
It's certainly the first time in a long time. It's the first 50-win season in quite some time. They are at 50 wins right now, aren't they?
They are 51 and 26.
So it's definitely been their best year in a long time. And with Amare, Stoudemire out most of the year as well. So that's going to be interesting to see how they work him back in. And he's currently a very highly paid sixth man. But at least this time the Knicks are paying a lot of money and they're winning. And that was a knock on them early in the earlier last decade, that they had that huge payroll to be in the lottery every year. And that
was
a bad time to be a Knicks fan, I'm sure. Not much better time to be a Bulls fan either, that period. Or a Heat fan.
Unless you're
a Spurs fan and later on a Pistons fan. Not necessarily the best time to follow the NBA.
Each team will have their time, the ups and downs, yeah.
Well, right now we've even got the Clippers, who won their first division title.
Yeah.
So there's never, I don't think there's been a team in the NBA that's had more downs than Clippers, so.
It goes to show you.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Well, anything can happen when the league blocks a trade to the Lakers,
I still love that. You remember the whole Soup Nazi Seinfeld episode with the "No Soup for You"?
Just for you.
Yeah, I did a little meme thing with that, with "No CP3 for You" with David Stern's head replacing the Soup Nazi's head. I was so happy when that trade was declined.
Well, I think that we talked about the conspiracy last week.
Yeah,
the so-called conspiracy, and I think if there really was one, that trade wouldn't have been vetoed.
I know. So, yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I don't buy into the conspiracy, but those were shocking calls.
Yeah, they were indeed.
Yeah. Something we missed last week was Danilo Gallinari is now out for the season with a torn, did he tear his ACL or MCL? Anyway, he blew his knee out.
I think it was the ACL.
The ACL, yeah, another one. Another player tears their ACL, and we've talked about this before, and you know, is it the shoes, as we've said?
Yes, well, he was wearing Adidas, so enough said.
Is Rondo Nike, or is he Adidas as well?
No, he's Nike. He was originally with Reebok, but a couple of years ago he signed with Nike.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it does happen on anything, but just the last probably two seasons, it's been a lot more Adidas-related players getting injured. So there has been that sort of title of the Adidas All ACL team.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that John Wall did his ACLs, didn't he?
Oh,
last season.
Yeah.
But you know, he's just recently signed with Adidas, so he,
crazy fast, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. is it a worrying thing? Is it like the whole being drafted first by the Blazers sort of methods? Like, oh, you want to hope to get traded or sign with someone else?
Kwame with the Wizards. First there was Kwame, now there's Wall. Yeah. So, although I would say that Wall in his few short years in the league has already eclipsed Kwame, I think we can safely say that at this point.
Yeah. It won't be an entire bust of a career.
No. Speaking of up-and-coming players, rather interesting story making headlines today. A couple of the top high school recruits going into college next season made some interesting remarks. Three of eight players polled actually predicted that they would defeat Michael Jordan. That is the Michael Jordan, not the Mike Jordan who played, you know, a few games in the league in 2000, but the Michael Jordan, that they'd beat him in a game one-on-one quite handily. Let's see.
In Jordan's prime, too.
Jordan's prime. I mean, now maybe they have a chance, although apparently he schooled Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at age 50, so I don't know. But let's see. Kentucky-bound Dakari Johnson and Andrew Harrison. Said Johnson, "I'm taking him to the post every time. He'd stop me a couple of times, but I'd just keep going back down there. I'd just contest his jump shots and pray that he'd miss. I think in the end I'd get him, though. I'm too big down there."
That's
okay.
So taken out of context, that's funny.
Just contest his jump shots. Because, you know, Michael Jordan wasn't very good at going to the hoop, so it's prime. So clearly it would have to come down to jump shots. Said Harrison, "I think he'd get a couple buckets here and there, but then I'd start to lock him down. Lock him down. Michael Jordan in his prime. And give him buckets. Yeah, I think I'd get him." Okay. I've got a quote here from the Book of Basketball by Bill Simmons, in which he recounts a story told to Michael Wilbon by Craig Hodges, who was with the Bulls during their championship runs in the early 90s. Craig Hodges told Michael Wilbon about a 1990 incident in which Pippen, you know, the Scottie Pippen, one of the greatest defenders in this.
And one of the top 50 of all time.
That's right. Who's played with Michael Jordan every day and practiced with him. One of the best defenders of all time. A 1990 incident in which Pippen made the mistake of challenging Jordan in practice when Michael, quote, proceeded, literally, to score on Scottie at will. It was incredible. I mean, Scottie Pippen even then was one of the best players in the league, and Michael just rained points on him. Scottie had to step back and say, "Slow up, man." And these high school kids think that they would be able to dominate Michael Jordan in his prime? Look, these guys are better players than I'm ever going to be, but come on. I'm sorry, I'm calling BS on that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say, oh, it's a brash statement, or maybe it was taken out of context, maybe they were trying to attempt a tongue-in-cheek. Even the article says that there's no... that they're written quotes. They didn't see video of them saying these things, so maybe tone is lost. But even so, there's not enough sarcasm there, I don't think.
Are they trying to be like the next Jordan Crawford?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a question. Can they beat Jordan Crawford one-on-one? Because clearly he's better than Michael Jordan. So, I mean, you got to have confidence to make it in the NBA, obviously. But why make such a foolish statement? This is who I would consider the greatest player of all time, and many others do. Certainly he's one of the best all time, a definite candidate to be called the greatest we've seen so far. Couldn't you find a way to express confidence and say, well, you know, I'd give him all I've got or something like that, or I'd, no.
I'd beat Antoine Walker in a 4-point shootout.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I saw that and I just had to laugh.
Yeah.
Why? Why? We'll see. I mean, it'll be very, you know, not to wish ill will on these people, I mean, these players, all they said was a couple of stupid things about beating the greatest player who ever played. But it will be funny if they don't really go anywhere in college or the NBA. And they'll always be the, just like the Harold Miners of the world or the next Jordans that never were, these are going to be the ones, always to be the people who claimed as kids they could beat Michael Jordan and just didn't even make the league. So, I'm, you know, if you're brash, that's your character, I suppose. But I think it pays to be a bit more humble in a situation like that.
Exactly.
Just play it a little bit. But well, if they think they can lock Jordan better down than Scottie Pippen and multiple double teams in one of the NBA's best eras, well, good luck to them. You know, it's put up or shut up time. Now, you bet damn good in college now.
If only it was 2015 and the DeLorean and that was out. You know, go back in time, bring Jordan back, or bring Jordan into, in his prime, obviously, into 2013, and just watch him just abuse them.
We'll see. Well, I believe he would. Not only them, but the NBA itself. And I would think if he's being brought out of that time period, then technically he was under contract with the Bulls at that time, so the contract would still be would be valid. I feel, and that could really help the Bulls, who have locked up a playoff seed. So Rose can sit out the year. We'll just take the Jordan from 1991 or so. and I'm pretty sure they're going to do fairly well.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that...
Bring Scotty as well. You know, that's... Might as well. There's enough room in there. There's two seats in the DeLorean. So, bring them in. What else has been happening around the NBA? Oh, Jay-Z is looking to divest his ownership in the Brooklyn Nets and to become an agent. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we sort of touched on it lightly just before we started recording. I think there could still be that conflict of interest, like he'd still have Brooklyn Nets sort of intentions and that. So, you know, he'd still be leaning towards signing players to that, well, to the Brooklyn. So, good on him for trying to be more of a mogul that he is and getting his hands in pretty much anything he can. But yeah, I don't think it will work out entirely. I think if he hadn't have gone into the partnership with the Brooklyn Nets, maybe it could have been a little bit more legitimate. But I think with his interests and heart, and because he is such a New York state of mind person, and that whether that was sort of a limit to kind of where he'd get these guys signed, the potential up and coming signs. So, yeah, I don't think it would work. I think he's too biased in some ways.
I agree. I mean, how can you not have that preference to the Brooklyn Nets? I mean, he brought them.
Yeah.
Brooklyn. He was a big, played a big role in bringing them from New Jersey. So, naturally, there's going to be that bias. I don't see how you could. I mean, I was just reading the article about it, and it mentioned that other people would be doing the nitty-gritty stuff, the handling of contracts and everything. But, yeah, he's... and while he'd be sort of doing the sell job with his endorsement tie-ins and whatnot. So,
and using Beyonce as a distraction, like a carrot on a... just to smooth his way into getting these players. Yeah, I can see that being an influence on something.
If you get someone to sign with a team, does that team also then need to have the executive produced by Jay-Z? somewhere on the... Like on the jersey, a patch that says "Signed by Jay Z" or "Signed thanks to Jay Z." You know, that's going to be a thing.
I was just picturing that whole thing. Well, the NBA has been in discussion about having sponsorships on jerseys, so
he's signed by Jay Z.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We shouldn't joke about these things because it's just ideas. It's given ideas. Well, we actually have an exciting development here on the NLSC podcast. Leftos is actually going to join us now, and just adding him to the call.
Hey!
Hey!
This is Buck.
And disconnect.
we wrapped up half an hour ago. We were just sort of post-game analyzing the whole podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure you did after 10 minutes of recording.
this recording is simply for our personal entertainment now.
Yeah.
Okay, so here I am for your listening enjoyment.
Listening enjoyment. I know how much you love that phrase.
Yeah, I do. I missed it. That's why I decided not to stay in the States and actually come back at some point to Greece. So, how have you guys been?
Been good, man. How about yourself?
It was a great trip. It was a great trip. Not to go into too many details about why I was there, you know, business reasons, as Andrew put it in the last podcast. Not to put too many information out there just yet, not to jinx anything, but I went there, yeah, for a pretty good reason, and I might have some big announcements to make soon, but it was a great trip for a multitude of reasons. And for one, I got to know a lot of the airlines that travel internationally.
That's a good reason.
There are ups and downs. For example, I mean,
what's the deal with peanuts? What's the deal with the size of the peanut bag? Is this going to lead into a bad comedy routine, Leftos? You know, you need a wrench to get into the bag. Oh.
I was going through these flight after flight after flight, and I was thinking to myself the very same thing. This is how stand-up comedians start their career. It just takes one international trip to have enough stories to go on and start a stand-up career, you know. I was traveling internationally. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting whatever you were discussing, so let's keep on discussing whatever you were discussing, and I'll have all my stories for later on.
We were talking about the NBL finals.
Ah, okay, great. Yeah, I have a lot to add to that. So, yeah, they were very, very interesting. Not especially a very close matchup, but yeah. Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You didn't watch, you may have actually provided more analysis than we did of the whole situation.
Yeah. If I
with your fake analysis maybe, right there.
Yeah, maybe I'd have something very interesting to actually add to the discussion, but no.
We were actually, last couple of things we were talking about were the two high school recruits who believe they can beat Michael Jordan.
Ah, yes.
Michael Jordan in his prime.
I arrived, what was it? I arrived 15 hours ago. And trust me, most of them, I've been sleeping through them, you know? I've had enough of planes and flying for right now, and I came home exhausted. So I did notice that coming up, and I laughed just as hard as you did, Andrew, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what they put in the water there. Maybe it's the Space Jam water. I don't know. I really don't see, you know, there's one thing to be motivated and confident, but there's another thing to being just plain cocky and ridiculous. There's a thin line, but once you cross it, you know, it's hard to go back.
And we just said it's put up or shut up time. They've got to become successful now.
You know, even Brian Scalabrine level of success would be enough. You know, to justify all their statements, but if they don't reach even that level, which, you know, to be honest, it's pretty damn high, you know.
Yeah.
There can only be one white mamba, but if you try to approach his level, you know.
The vanilla Godzilla.
Yeah, vanilla Godzilla, exactly. I can't get enough of, you know, watching Scalabrini videos, highlights, and hearing, don't do them like that, Scalabrini! And it sounds so ridiculous. Anyway, yeah, but yeah, these kids have set their their goals, you know, it's better, I guess, in a way, it's better to have goals than have none, to not know what you want to do with your life. But unless there's something that none of us knows about those kids, I would say you kids are just setting yourself up to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you were homeschooled and your parents persuaded you that the sky's the limit and that you can be anything you want in the world, and that if you don't want to be Michael Jordan, you can still be the first person to walk on the moon, even though we had the first person to walk on the moon and some after him. But, you know.
It could always be the first person to walk on Mars.
Yeah,
There's still hope for that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger already do that?
Yeah. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was the first man to have twins, so. So, you know.
Making history.
He's broken so much ground.
The Ultimate Jordan DVD is not that expensive now. I mean, if they want to see how good he was, all you need to do is pop that in, so. I guess I don't have a DVD or Blu-ray player, so.
But again, you know, you don't need to watch Michael Jordan highlights. You can just rent Space Jam for a night and see that move with his arm throughout the half court. You know, that's one in a million. I mean, maybe one of those kids can do that. I don't know. Maybe Robin Williams is around in the equation, you know, making another Flubber or something.
Yeah.
Maybe the Looney Tunes are involved. I don't know. We don't know the whole story. I mean, again, just like I was saying with Royce White, you know, the story we know is the story we know. The reality could be miles away from what we know. So maybe, just maybe, one of those kids is actually better than Michael Jordan. Maybe, somehow, all of them are. You know, it could turn out to be like that. It's amazingly improbable, but it could end up being like that. So, there is a way that maybe the Looney Tunes are involved in all of this.
Oh, we can't rule it out.
Yeah.
I actually believe that Kevin Durant can make that half-court dunk with those arms of his.
But Kevin Durant is already friends with Helmer Fudd, so he has that over everyone.
Of course.
He is on Doodle Jump's hit list after that little ad a few years ago for the NBA.
Which one?
It was one of the internet sort of plan ones for their phones and that, and I think it was the NBA TV or NBA. I can't remember now, but he says really Doodle Jump, and it has you use your download limit on your phone to download Doodle Jump, and yeah, just I don't know, I'll have to find the ad again to remember what it was for, but it was probably It probably wasn't T-Mobile, it was probably the other network, AT&T or whatever it was. I can't remember now.
Hey, we're not getting sponsors from anyone yet, so, you know, don't go advertising companies like that. We want monies before we say names of corporations out loud. Unless we're criticizing them and chastising them, in which case, you know, you don't have to pay us. We'll do that for free. Yeah. We'll have been a bit about everything, so.
We'll bash everyone for free, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I do remember who it was for now. It was actually Sprint.
An unnamed telecommunications provider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, Kevin Durant did have his own Space Jam come out last year. Did either of you happen to see that? I didn't.
No, I haven't.
Looked kind of skewed to a much younger audience, so.
I like my movies and that.
Which I also get a pass, yeah. The other thing we were talking about, Leftos, just before you joined us, Jay-Z's looking to become an agent. Did you see that one as well?
Looking to become an agent to what? Young rap stars?
No, he's...
Young Illuminatis?
No, he's looking to sell his shares in the Brooklyn Nets and become a player agent.
Oh.
And we were just saying, I mean, how can you not be biased towards the Nets still? How can they not be that... that bias.
Player agent.
Yeah.
What brought this around, though? I mean,
I guess.
Does Jay-Z have any kids of his own with Beyonce?
They
shut down a hospital wing.
Blue too. Ivory or something like that, the kid's name?
Thankfully, I have to say this. Thankfully, every celebrity kid has celebrity parents to take care of them. Because if you took your layman's kid and named him anything that the celebrities name their kids, it would be daily beatdowns at school, daily ridicule until they reach university, and then when they reach university, because they would be of legal age, they would just change the name or, you know, have their official name in a secret paper somewhere and just tell anyone, you know, another name. But Blue Ivory, seriously? Blue Ivory.
Yep.
God damn it. I mean, if Jay-Z didn't have kids or couldn't have kids, it would make sense from a sentimental reason to become a player agent and, you know, try to nurture a young star. Which is, you know, we discussed the amount of effect player agents can have on players. And not just players, anyone that comes about big money suddenly and becomes very popular suddenly. And, you know, depending on the people, just like Andrew and I was discussing, depending on the people you have around you, this can either make or break you. So, it's important, you know. And if Jay-Z ends up being a good player agent, you know, more power to him. We need good agents because we've seen players become brat bastards and then players lose all their money the minute they retire from the NBA because they've been spending all of it. So, you know, I'm fine with pretty much anyone becoming a player agent as long as they're good at it. And I have no idea how good Jay-Z is at, you know, becoming an agent of a player, but he has taken great care of his career, you know. He's been very successful, extremely successful, successful enough, I mean, to be at the same point in time, you know, have a big share of the Brooklyn Nets and be executive producer of NBA 2K13.
So, well, that's the other thing we were pointing out is if he does become an agent and his clients sign with the team, do they have to wear a patch that says signed by Jay-Z or signed thanks to Jay-Z?
Maybe that will be a DLC. You know, maybe you pay $5 to add signed by Jay-Z in your profile and suddenly your potential is 10 points up, just like the shoes with the magic attributes.
And that would still be better than dunk contest.
You pay the $10 and you get to have, instead of like a my career mode as a player, my career mode as a Jay-Z being a manager. We're patenting that idea too, damn it.
Yeah, that's already been done. That's already been done by FIFA. FIFA, as far as I know, has three career modes. It has the player career, the manager career, player manager, which I'm not sure if that's the role of the agent or if in that, no. Oh, no, I must be confusing that with being both a player and the manager. Yeah, I don't think they have an agent mode yet. So, but yeah, it would be, I don't know. I mean, it opens up, you know, possibilities for a new game mode, but as long as there's no, you know, give coke crack to player option, you know, develop it, but develop it the right way. You don't want to go too realistic on that mode, you know? Just like you don't have, you can't go on my career and visit too many strip clubs and, you know, spend all your money on booze and ruin your career that way, you know? You don't want that level of realism.
I want to see the NBA. I want to see be in the room, a fly on the wall when a company makes that pitch to the NBA representative.
I know.
You have the option of trashing your career by strip clubs and spending money in these clubs, or knocking up as many women as you can, a la Dwight Howard and Royce White. I don't know if you've heard the story with Royce White. He's apparently got 5 baby mamas right now.
Seriously?
Yep.
When did that come out? Oh, come on. Today. I go to the States for a week. Oh, today?
Today it came out, yep. I'll get the report. Hang on a second. Where is it?
That's ridiculous.
But speaking of crazy, did you happen to hear Meta World Peace's comments left us. He's too sexy for his cat.
Oh.
This is apparently the reason he came back from his knee surgery early. He's too sexy for his cat. This was the comment he made over and over to reporters about being too sexy for his cat.
When did that happen? What caused that to happen?
That was yesterday.
What was the occasion? How did he end up making those statements?
Well, he came back early from surgery, played 15 minutes on a surgically repaired knee that may or may not fall apart within the next week or so, because originally he was supposed to be out the rest of the season. But after the game, he was asked about it and just continually made comments about being too sexy for his cat.
Yeah,
that is. I know you want more. I know you want more context. You want more context. I can't give you more context than that. That's what happened.
I don't know if I want more context, though. You know, it's one of those train wrecks. You can't stop. You can't stop looking, but you know you shouldn't be looking. You know, it's something like that. If Meta World Peace comes out and says I'm too sexy for my cat, you know what happened? Did he hit on his cat and his cat rejected him? What was the story there? Did the story move away, leaving a note that you're too sexy for me? I can't take this. You know, I'd rather I left and we stayed friends. What happened there? And Ben sent me in the background. You know, there's all these things behind the scenes that you know our listeners don't get to see. For example, how we all have our webcams on and do sexy dances to each other. But
yeah,
Ben,
you said you weren't going to talk about that. That was strictly for eyes only.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's the last time I ever wiggled it for you again.
But Ben actually sent me the article talking about Royce White getting his fifth baby mama pregnant, and it's three paragraphs from the end, and it starts with something that you can pronounce, I will, however, but it's written, I will, however, defend myself. And I'm thinking that that's just on purpose. It's I will, H-O-E, space, ever, not however. You know, if that's autocorrect, that's autocorrect magic, you know? That's the most appropriate autocorrect ever done, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying these women are the hoes here, you know. If Royce White has gotten five women pregnant, you know, he's the hoe. I'm sorry about, you know. It's just like that. Yeah.
We're not about double standards here on the LFC podcast.
No, we're not. And I was listening, you know. You had so many interesting subjects like last week, and I felt so bad for not being able to join. But you know, it was weird and nice in this. You know, in a way to have an episode that I haven't participated in, you know, having taken part in all of them so far, bar that one. And I was listening to, you know, to you two guys discussing the is it WNBA player that's that
college
the college
player.
College player, yeah, that's been discussed about being brought to the NBA. And yep. You know, I liked your position on the both of your positions on the matter, you know, and how you didn't have a double standard as to
Thank you.
Players. And it is, however, a boys' club. You know, I have been reading remember when we talked about that that female developer and evangelist that was at PyCon that, you know, outed those people that she thought were making inappropriate remarks and everything that went down. And we discussed that a bit, you know, behind the scenes after the podcast. And in the end, both she and one of those guys got fired. So it blew up. It definitely blew up. But,
got,
you know, it...
They got offed, like, by, like, Adam Moss. Yep.
It was a ridiculous situation on so many levels, but it brought around a discussion about whether the software sector is still a boys' club, and you know, if women can still can in this day and age, I mean, it's It's fucking 2013 already. If women can feel comfortable in the sector, so you have to wonder the same about, you know, a game, a league that is by definition a men's league, and a woman suddenly entering that, and you have to wonder, you know, Ben put the question of, you know, the changing rooms.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you have to make something special for her, not just to respect her privacy, but the guy's privacy as well, because we're not putting the way that she will be the one that's unprotected, and maybe, you know, in a weird sense, you know, guys are mostly known to be the perverts, but it's not like there are no female perverts out there. So you have to respect both sexes' privacy here. And it's still a very, very much so a boys' club. I mean, you see all those occurrences of fights and trash talking done between, you know, male players, that you only have to wonder if that would escalate when a female joins the league and what's it have to go through. But, you know, it is an interesting subject. If it does happen, it opens the door to, you know, a new future where women will not be discriminated as far as, you know, the league that they participate in, and they'll get to play, they'll get to show whether they can, and, you know, be able to play at the same level as men do. Because the female equality, you know, thing has a lot of decades behind it, you know, right now. And there's, on most levels in everyday life, women get to participate in things at the same level as men do, but not in sports. You see, there's different rules in WNBA. There's specific leagues to accommodate men and to accommodate women. And you have to wonder, is this an experiment that needs to happen? Do we need to at least have, you know, an experimental league that gets... Do we bring, for example, some women in the D-League for starters, and then bring them in to the NBA? You know? You have to wonder whether this is an experiment that just needs to happen.
Yeah, I can use an example here. Like, we have the mixed basketball leagues, and I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago on one of the podcasts, where guys can't enter the key. So even for rebounding and that, really, I think they might be able to get, like, defensive rebounds, but, like, offensively wise, they can't go inside the key. Players are only allowed to score a maximum of 15 points each.
Yeah.
So things like that, you know. That's how they've sort of gone around about that aspect for a mixed hybrid league, I suppose.
But, you know, it's an interesting experiment, and I was reading up. I didn't get to watch any college games, but I was reading up, and most people seemed very disappointed by the way the college tournament ended up, and not just for their brackets. They were thinking that most of the games were very disappointing in themselves. So you have to wonder, if people are complaining so much about college players, are there maybe some WNBA players that actually deserve to be in the NBA more than some potential college flops do? You know, some male players that end up being flops do, because we have, you know, we have the 13th, 14th, and 15th player in some teams be, I mean, okay, they're good enough to be in the NBA in a way, I suppose, but we have seen players be ridiculously bad compared to the rest of the league. So you have to wonder, you know, women participating and competing at the highest level, is there, you know, maybe some of them that can compete with the guys, you know? It's an interesting question, and it will be interesting. You know, that question, to me, is more interesting than the question whether the NBA should have a division in Europe. Because the logistics are terrible in that one, you know?
Yeah.
We had the Pistons-Knicks game this year in London, and most of the players were complaining their asses off about it, you know? They didn't like that they had to fly so many hours, then practice the next day, then have a game, then fly back, because it's a lot of time zones to change and then be required to play at the level you're supposed to be playing. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I just had a trip to the US and back. And let me tell you, that takes a toll on your body and your mind. So I would see why players wouldn't want that, and then you're saying that maybe teams will have all their games against the European division early on, but then you're keeping players away from their families for what, a month, month and a half? And not every family can support that. You know, not every family can have the member, you know, the father in some cases. In other cases, just the husband, you know. Sometimes it's just as important to have the husband at least be around in the same city for some days of the week. There's still away games in the U.S., but it's still away games in the U.S.
You're going just a couple of hours flight. Huh?
Yeah. So it's, I really see that the, you know, the question on whether there's some female players that's up, that are up to par and that could join, you know, the D-League or possibly the NBA as well, than, you know, bringing the NBA over to Europe. It is very popular. You can have a summer tournament if you want, but I really don't see the NBA expanding to have an actual European division. It will be interesting to see more of those happenings where NBA teams take up European teams, because there's this long-running question on whether European basketball, which is much more strategic than NBA is about, you know, than NBA is. And you see that with players, you saw that especially with players that left the NBA for either a whole season or just the lockout last year. They were coming back saying it was amazing on how much I had to remember strategic-wise, because for every play that broke defensively, we had to know what to switch to. We weren't doing half-court defense at any time. For every failure, there was another strategy to fall back on.
Freelance basketball.
Yeah, there's no freelance basketball there. And it's a much more strategic game, and that's why, you know, coaches in the European basketball get much, you know, many more accolades than what NBA coaches do. And but it's still interesting. It's a long-running question. So it will be interesting to see more games, you know, of NBA teams against European teams. So if you want to have a summer tournament, you know, and teams can bring in whoever they want, I can see, for example, Spoelstra or Popovich still pulling the Popovich there. But it's still going to be an interesting matter. So, no double standards. If Royce White is a hoe, he's a hoe. That's all I'm going to say to you.
You mentioned the idea of having a women play in the D-League or perhaps some exhibition games. That'd be a good way to trial the whole thing.
Yeah.
Last week, I mentioned that there had been a woman, a female basketball player who'd signed with the Pacers in 1979. I've just looked that up. Anne Drysdale, she was Anne Myers at the time, before she got married. She is currently actually the general manager for the Phoenix Mercury and vice president of the Phoenix Suns, and she's also been a broadcaster. But yeah, she signed a 10-day contract with them in 1979, and was cut from, was it a 10-day contract or training camp contract? Training camp contract, and was ultimately cut. And she's listed at 5'9", 134, so she definitely would be on the smaller side of the NBA. But you know, you look at the Spud Webbs and Muggsy Bogues and these days Nate Robinson. If you've got the talent, well, we've seen plenty of big players who have been terrible. So the size doesn't have to be an issue. So certainly, maybe try some interleague play or some exhibitions just to see how it would work. But at the moment, I still don't know whether it'll happen. I think it's perhaps a bit too gimmicky. It would have to be done for the right reasons, as you said last week, Ben.
Yeah.
Not to be a sideshow, but yeah, no double standards, and we'll see. But I don't think she's going to probably going to tear up the WNBA though.
One thing before we do sort of change subject, because we're sort of on this sort of key topic within regards to the whole sexism thing, or sexism. Sorry, that was a bad.
Is this about our discrimination against cats?
No. As I assure you, no cats will be harmed
I want to see the note the cat left Meta World Peace. Before that, I'm not believing in it.
Well,
but yeah.
I sent Ben a link before we started recording the podcast. There's a meme going around replacing sports balls with cats, and there's a really great picture of Terrence Ross of the Raptors, the the dunk slam dunk champion dunking a cat. So we don't support sexism nor cruelty to animals here, but go on, Ben.
Okay, this was in regards to okay, Naughty Dog, like I have mentioned, the Last of Us game is coming out and all that, but they've just recently had some testing done on it, and the firm that was hired to undergo this this testing and all that with general people and to get surveys and responses and all that stuff to sort of as for their marketing research and that, Naughty Dog has to actually step in because and sort of say, look, we want this circumstance because this marketing firm was only getting male gamers to actually play test their game. So this is kind of like, well, we want a response from female gamers. You know, the sort of misconception that it's only guys that play games and all that. So there's still that sort of sexism within that. But also another circumstance that sort of happened late last year was the fact that some of the marketing and that agencies and that were telling him to remove Ellie, the 14-year-old girl, from their game cover art, because it wasn't so much the age appropriateness because she was a 14-year-old girl, it was more the fact that she was female. They didn't see it as a selling point for this game, so it's sort of another sad sort of thing that we're still in some bigoted mannerisms and stuff or behaviors.
It's ridiculous to me that things like that still happen. I mean, I don't remember where I saw that, but I was reading that some surveys have shown that the amount of female gamers has actually reached the amount of male gamers, that we're now at about 50 to 50% as far as, you know, population goes. And it was bound to happen considering the how much, you know, social games and games and very successful games that have sold millions and millions, like The Sims, you know, have brought a lot of female gamers into, you know, a lot of women and girls and younger girls into gaming. Yeah. For example, Farmville, you know, or no matter how much I dislike Zynga and their, you know, and their business strategy, you have to acknowledge Farmville's success. I can't think of a single female friend of mine that hasn't played Farmville. And even those that didn't have Facebook made fake profiles with no friends whatsoever just to be able to play Farmville. They've all moved on to Candy Crush Saga right now, but they're still playing games, you know, which wasn't happening before. And it's ridiculous to me that stuff like that is still happening, you know, that a girl on the cover isn't marketable. I mean, what the hell is that about? You were talking about Naughty Dog, and they're now a grown-up company making The Last of Us, right?
Yes.
But the moment you mentioned Naughty Dog, a light bulb went off in my head. Do you guys remember one of the first things Naughty Dog became very popular for? I don't know if you talked about
Crash
this
Bandicoot
last week. Yeah, Crash Bandicoot. The moment you mentioned Naughty Dog, I remembered the slogan that came up at the start of Crash Bandicoot that had this, you know, drill sergeant voice saying Naughty Dog or something like that. Something along those lines that was hilarious to me even back then when I was a child and, you know, didn't realize the perversion behind the name. But yeah, it was Crash Bandicoot, and you have to wonder how do you go from Crash Bandicoot 1996 from 1999 according to Wikipedia to The Last of Us. I mean, people have grown up in there, you know.
Yeah,
there's probably some engineers that have been there since Crash Bandicoot, and you know they were much younger and had much and a much different approach to what games they wanted to make back then. And they've grown up now, and they want to play more serious games. And they're developing The Last of Us. So yeah.
Well, you look at Lemmings back in the day, the classic game. I don't know if you guys
spent
much of that over the years. made by DMA Design, which became Rockstar North, now making Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Although you look back at Lemmings and it was kind of violent, some of the way the Lemmings would get crushed and ground up. So,
yeah, they're suicide packs.
Yeah, throw themselves up cliffs. I mean, you know.
Or with the torch flamethrower thing to sort of burn through the scaffold and stuff like that. But again, with this Naughty Dog thing and the whole sort of sexism, just the other day they released their Beautiful Wasteland sort of development diary and stuff like that. And one of the developers on this, just trying to grab her name just so I can put it all in the proper context. Here we go. Just saw her there. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through it. But she was... Here we go. It's her name is Eldel Bueno, if I pronounced that right, or if I pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry. But a lot of people were on forums and that were making pretty much inappropriate comments again and all that stuff. Sort of similar to that one where I mentioned last week where they were saying that the other girl, Skylar or something like that, would sell more tickets in a NBA and all that stuff if instead of Brittany Griner. So there's a similar type conversation from sort of that. And it's just, yeah. So there's still way...
It comes back to a commentary on the looks or something superficial or sexist,
Did you read about President Obama having to apologize for complimenting a woman?
No,
with her looks?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I was in the US reading the, what was it? Some San Francisco newspaper that, you know, we got in the hotel lobby. And I was reading up on this ridiculous report. Obama made a statement about some high-end lawyer, I think, that they've been friends for a long time. They've had very good relations. So after praising her, you know, her ability to do her job, you know, he also made a very nice compliment about her looks, and he was forced to apologize about the compliment because they said when you make a compliment about a woman's looks, you invalidate the rest of her accomplishments.
Oh.
And I was thinking, what kind of sexism is that?
Is that?
That's ridiculous. You're fighting sexism by using sexism?
Is it
the president can't compliment on a woman's looks because she's a woman and because complimenting her looks will make everyone think, oh, of course, she's beautifully looking, so that's how she got there. I mean, allowing the president to make such statements is what's going to actually eliminate that notion. If the president can't be allowed to say that here she is, she's very successful and that's why she's rich there, and among other things, she's very pretty as well. I mean, come the fuck on!
Yeah. It's taking political correctness
a little bit too far. Yeah. So,
this podcast brought to you by the Females Fight for Equality.
But if you're if somebody's talking about a George Clooney or a Brad Pitt or a Walter Matthau, whoever else the women think is attractive, more than Matthew.
Most attractive man ever.
Throwing that one out there to see if anyone will get it. But you know, when they talk about them and sort of put them on the, I don't know, hunks of Hollywood list or something, does that invalidate them as actors or indeed producers and directors? Since Brad Pitt has done that, and
but it's not the president calling them hunks.
It's not, but I'm saying, but when somebody, the bottom line is that you, the president being the example, but the bottom line was that you can't compliment a woman's looks without invalidating any other compliments about her accomplishments or abilities or whatever. So, but does it work the other way with a man? That if you...
imagine starting to apply to other notions of life. I mean, imagine going up to a female friend of yours and saying, oh, you're looking very pretty tonight. And she comes up and says, oh, so you think I'm stupid? So you think I shouldn't be where I am right now in my career, that I've climbed up by using by abusing my beauty. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? No, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, come on. It's starting to get ridiculous. When we can't compliment the other sex or even the same sex. I mean, if we had a if the US had a homosexual president, would cause the same kind of ruckus for him to or for her to make a compliment to a person of the same sex? I mean, what is it? Is it sex is my get females? Is it talking about a person of the different sex? Would the same thing happen if they compliment someone of the same sex? I mean, where does it end? And the answer to that is it should end at not being a problem at all. You know?
I mean, I'm all for equality and everything, and because some people do have very bigoted views, it's a shame that in society we do actually have to have laws that say, you know, you can't discriminate against people for this, this, and this, for hiring for jobs or whatever, and we have to... It's a shame we have to pound it into people's heads, you know, that not to be racist or sexist or whatever. But sometimes it does get to the stage where, you know, you walk up to someone and say, oh, hello. And like, oh, hello, huh? What do you mean by that? It's...
Yeah, yeah.
Where does it end?
Did I hear a hoe in there somewhere? Are you calling me a hoe? Am I not too sexy for your cat? What's going on? What are you saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Guys, bad news.
Yeah?
Very bad news. The PC is dying, apparently. I'm reading a report on Ars Technica that says that pretty much every OEM, every manufacturer of ready-to-buy PCs is quite down on their sales.
Yeah, I think it's like 20% drop or something. Or
yeah, yeah.
Worst HP, sales in 20 years.
HP had a 24% drop. Dell had 11%. Acer had 31%. They lost a third of their sales.
Well, Acer's never been all that great, to be honest.
Yeah, it hasn't been all that great, but still they managed to lose 20% of their not so great numbers. And others, accumulating the rest of the companies, they accumulate to a 10% average loss of sales. The only manufacturer that has somehow survived is Lenovo. But other than that, everyone else is failing. And in short, as the article notes, netbooks are gone, ultrabooks aren't selling as well as they could be, and things with touchscreens are succeeding at the expense of more traditional computers. And it seems to be that way everywhere you look. I mean, the video game industry is shifting a lot towards mobile games and social games, games that are both on Facebook and your phone, and, you know, a lot of stuff like that, and it is disappointing for us traditional PC gamers. And you have to wonder, you know, will that translate? Does that also translate to fewer sales on games on the PC, or is it that everyone by now has a PC and that people are knowledgeable enough to upgrade, you know, to slowly upgrade rather than, you know, throw out their old PC and buy a new one. So it will be interesting to see how this loss of sales as far as, you know, PCs go, whether that translates to, you know, enough of lower numbers on the PC to mean that the gaming industry will be shifting further away from the PC with the arrival of the new consoles. I mean, it's bad. If you ask me, it's very bad news. I mean, I have been a PC gamer so far, and one of the main reasons was because I didn't have enough money to spend on a console and the console games as well, which to me are ridiculously priced. But, you know, I also, you know, make use of my PC for a lot more things besides gaming. I mean, I do all my development on my PC, and I have grown to love the fact that I have, you know, two screens right now to be able to use them concurrently and stuff like that. And on the PC, of course, you have modding, which, you know, it's what we do. So there's a lot of reasons that I wouldn't want to see the PC going away as a platform for gaming and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I, it's beyond my reach. It's beyond our powers. We're only a few customers, and if you ask me, for example, I've never participated in those numbers. I mean, my netbook is an Acer, but other than that, I've always built my own PCs. So it's good. I'm still curious, you know, to reiterate my question is, why is this drop? Is this drop just people moving away from traditional computers to move to touchscreen devices, which is happening a lot? I see a friend of mine moving to tablets a lot, you know, and having phones that are more powerful than their old PCs. So, you know, it begs the question, why are people moving away, and what are they moving away to? Because you can't get the exact number of people that are making their own PCs, and whether that has grown, you know, along with how much PC sales have fallen. So, guys, opinions on that? Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to be people moving to the tablets.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like everyone has an iPad or an Android tablet of some kind these days. I don't have one myself.
I got a Windows Surface tablet, and I've only just started using it. And I mean, it's cool. It has still a lot of the PC ecosystem in it, but there's.
Would you game on it though? Would you really sort of get hardcore gaming on it?
Like... I don't think it's there yet. I think it's still a few years off before you get to it. And for design purposes, it's still not there. I know the Galaxy Tabs or the Notes or the signature ones that they've come out with for Samsung at the moment, it does have like a light version of Photoshop in it, but you can't admittedly do all that much with it yet, as opposed to like the full Creative Suite editions and all that stuff. So, you know, for me, I still rely on PC and laptop. Sort of thing. For my PC, I'm waiting for the Intel Shark Bay CPU. So at the moment, it's at Ivy Bridge. I think there's going to be another sort of CPU. I can't remember that one's name, but then the following year, it's going to be regarded as the Shark Bay CPU instead of Ivy Bridge. So I'm waiting for that one. You know, I'll still need things for obviously designing my apparel or games and stuff like that. So for me, I don't think the market is entirely dead for it. But I think in the sense of portability and traveling, yeah, the whole tablet thing makes a lot of sense. It was kind of annoying when I had to take my laptop to London just to sheer. I mean, it's not a huge laptop, but it does take up more space, and carrying it on your back for such long periods of time. And even when I went to Perth, you know, in a sense where it ended up being over the weight limit for the carry-on stuff. So I had to pay $95 extra in fees and all that for my luggage and that, just because it was just over by a little bit, and mainly to do with the laptop and stuff. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, it makes sense to have the portable thing, but I think they're a long way off from being able to run high-end games off it. I mean, I know the tablet market and mobile phone market, the progress in that is evolving so quickly and a lot faster than PC at the moment, but I think it's still too far away yet. Probably another 2 years before it would probably be caught up to maybe 3 years for today's sort of PC standard for gaming and stuff. And I think, yeah, it's still too young in the evolution process for it. That's why I'll put it at that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of potential there with the tablets. It's great. But yeah, like you say, trying to do design, I mean, doing the maintenance of the NLSC or web design for other customers, I wouldn't want to do that on a tablet. No. It's that much easier. I mean, I actually prefer to do it on my PC rather than my laptop, with the larger screen and whatnot.
There are some things for me that you need a PC for. I mean, wouldn't, even if I had one of those 17-inch laptops, which aren't laptops, more, you know, they're just desktops you can move around.
Yeah.
But they drain their batteries ridiculously. They need to be constantly plugged in. You know, they're way too heavy to have on your lap. They get way too hot. I haven't seen one of those that works properly as a laptop, you know, that's both light enough and, you know, has proper cooling and, you know, has a battery that can last more than an hour. It's ridiculous how, you know, these laptops are just desktops. You can move around. If you travel a lot, it makes sense. But still, you know, I wouldn't see using that on my lap at any time. I've tried and, you know, I was worried about first degree burns on my legs. there are some things that I really don't see doing on even, you know, such a big laptop as that. I mean, I have two 22-inch screens that no laptop screen will ever be able to surpass, you know?
Yeah.
There's still the comfortableness of having the screens properly at the height that I need them and still having a separate keyboard, which, you know, can happen with a laptop when you're just using the screen and have bought a separate keyboard and mouse and stuff like that. But then, you know,
might as well have a computer.
Yeah. Something like that, you know. But I see, as you said, Andrew, I see the transition to the tablet market happen all around me. I see how it's a big upcoming market and why the gaming industry is moving towards it like a bee is moving towards the flower. I'm still disappointed and I will be disappointed if I see, you know, more franchises leaving the PC for good. I don't know. I know I'm going to make the transition to a console. Sooner or later, some console is finally going to sell me on, you know, getting one, and especially the next-gen consoles, which, you know, from what we see are very impressive, even though they're getting creative directors fired. I know we were going to bring it up, so I preempted
it. Yep.
I'm like that. But, you know, I'm...
We missed you left us.
Yeah. But, you know, it's... But still, you know, there's some stuff like development, or, you know, when I was in during my undergraduate studies, the fact that I could have, you know, my research on the right screen and writing the document and formatting it on the left screen was something that a laptop could never get me. And I still see, you know, developers work with three screens and stuff like that. So, you know, there is still a use for the computer market, however, that doesn't seem to be gaming. And it is unfortunate.
Once again, I mean, people are moving towards the tablets, and that's understandable. And like you said, we don't know how many people are building their own computers, especially gaming rigs,
yeah.
Because a lot of the gaming solutions that the OEMs provide are very expensive. And if you're a savvy customer, you can get someone to build
a
for you.
Or if you have a savvy cousin, you know? You don't need to be a savvy customer yourself. The more people that are knowledgeable about stuff like that, the more of their friends will use them to avoid the OEMs. So that's why I'm saying we need the full story before, you know, we can get too disappointed.
And the optimist would say that is the case, that there's more people building computers or getting them from independent computer shops that are custom building. Example. The other possibility is because we are reaching the end of the lifespan of the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 as the current gen, and games are mostly being developed for them and ported to PC in many cases, maybe people don't have to buy the new computers to run the latest games. They've already sort of upgraded, so they don't need to buy new games this year. Maybe as games start being developed for the next generation of consoles and demand the better hardware, people have been putting off upgrading computer. I mean, my computer itself, I got it custom built and myself a few years back, mainly because I couldn't be bothered doing it myself. And the wholesalers I was dealing with at the time was actually more expensive to put it together myself. So at any rate, my computer is now going on 4 years old, but it still runs everything that I need it to. Also because I've been able to upgrade it. So, like you said, hopefully mostly that's the case as well, that's cutting into the sales. But, I mean, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I don't see it going away. I mean, you look at these old media. I mean, we still have vinyl records coming back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for DJs and people who'd like that old nostalgia, classic sound. Yeah,
the nostalgia.
So, and retro gaming and everything. So, yeah, I mean, the tablets are going to be there, and maybe they do end up taking the PC's place in the market. But hey, if we can still do the similar things on the PC, I'll gladly get a tablet. If we can do the same kind of things and they're powerful enough,
vinyls,
I can adapt to.
Vinyls are still out there because for the same reason some people are still using analog cameras. Analog is always going to be digital no matter how you put it. I mean, digital is always going to be more portable, is always going to be much easier to, you know, both produce and maintain, but digital is never going to have the accuracy of analog. If you know, if you've spent any time on reading up or studying, you know, how analog is converted to digital, there's always, you can never, never, never avoid having a quality loss. Maybe the quality loss is unnoticeable, you know, and, you know, FLAC was built for that very reason. As an audio codec, it was built to make sure that you can have digital libraries, but, you know, they would be as good as the original, you know? But, you know, there are some people that are bent on having analog stuff, you know, and maintaining it and, you know, keeping it that way. I mean, I know some films are still in, you know, I mean, most of the movies haven't transitioned to digital format yet, which was always baffled me. I mean, they're still using those analog reels that get so much damage over time that you keep getting those spots and those, you know, breaks in the image and those tears and those burns, after a while.
And the sound and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and you go to the cinemas that get those reels from the bigger cinemas and show them in the summer, and they have been so damaged, it's ridiculous. You would be better off watching them at home, and stuff like that. That, you know, it has baffled me why, you know, I guess it's, you know, the equipment that would need to change, that's, you know, a big investment to transition to digital, but, you know, there's still reasons that analog is still out there, and, you know, there's always going to be reasons for PCs to be out there, but will that still be gaming? And I know some studios are always going to be bent on using the latest and greatest hardware, because there are studios that make games that become benchmarks for computers for the years to come, because their games are too complex for the current generation of consoles, and they're too complex for the current generation of hardware on the PC, and you buy the game, and you know you won't be able to fully enjoy it before you make the next upgrade. And those games act like marketing freebies for hardware companies. I mean, you know, they're used by NVIDIA and AMD to sell graphics cards every year. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 4 is a very good example. And other iterations of Grand Theft Auto 2, I mean, they always push the current gen of consoles to their limits. You would always have much more popping in the console versions. They were limited to 30 frames per second, as always. And you would never get the experience that the PC has. And another adult to modding, you know, if you guys have seen the Ice Hunter, as it's called, for Grand Theft Auto, it has taken a game that Grand Theft Auto 4 that was very bland color-wise, you know, it was a lot of grays and browns and not a lot of color, and it has made it amazingly photorealistic, because gamers can do what we did on a small level for NBA 2K and edit the actual shaders, edit all the information that's going to the graphics card before it reaches the graphics card. So we can make the games as detailed as we'd like, and that's one thing that PCs will always have. But still, the amazingness of modding isn't going to be something that you can go to the marketing department or your corporate department with and say that's the reason we need to have a PC game. or, you know, future hardware sales, maybe you get a big deal with one of the hardware makers, but if you don't, you still have no good reason to put the game out on the PC if the sales are down that much and consoles are only going to become more impressive and connected and social and give people all those reasons to transition to them. And there's ridiculous stuff like, you know, how not so ridiculous, but, you know, that would be so easy to work around. I mean, you see how people are people are using Xbox and the PlayStation, Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network to give people friends lists because there's no consistent way to have friends lists on the PC. Some games take advantage of Steam, for example, that has friends lists as a platform to have, you know, stuff like that. But then there's the fragmentation on the PC because not all companies would agreed to use in Steam. So some, like EA and Ubisoft, have made their own platforms. Ubisoft has Uplay, EA has Origin. So there's fragmentation there, and there's not a single, you know, baseline that developers can use, even for friends lists. It's always going to be harder to develop for PC, you know, considering the amount of hardware combinations that is out there. But the publishing companies themselves ain't making the job any easier because they feel like they can always do things better than what's done so far, and they're further fragmenting the market, unfortunately. So, you know, the signs are not good. But, you know, we're going to see, you know, what the industry transitions to sooner or later.
Yeah, I mean, you've already put it as plainly as you can.
Yeah.
And we're always living, for many years now, we've been living in fear in the PC gaming community, especially with the basketball games, that, you know, this is going to be the last one. And there's not going to see another one, but and certainly the industry, the PC gaming industry as a whole, is grinding to a halt. Or that may be a bit premature, but certainly, having seen this downturn in sales, it's kind of not promising. But like a lot of things, I guess we just keep our fingers crossed and see what happens. Whether it is the migration to tablets, or people making that switch to consoles, or simply just waiting to upgrade their the computers because they don't need a better system just yet.
Yeah, but the computers having a slightly longer longevity because they're not having to rely it as to be a gaming PC because of these current gen and next gen consoles and that. So
yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I guess all we can do in our small corner of the internet is just keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
As we've been doing for so many other things.
We'll see how it goes. We're all mainly, not Ben, but he's a traitor. We're all mainly PC gamers.
A blood traitor.
Hey, yeah, I still use my PC for gaming.
No. I don't want your excuses. I don't want
Hey, come on now.
most of us, the best of us, are mainly PC gamers over at the NLSC. I'm not stopping.
I'm still PC gamer at heart. Look, I've got quite a few games on my PC still right now. I got Battlefield 3, Live 06. Didn't put Live 08 back on this one because for me, Live 06 was graphically better.
Have you installed my roster yet?
No, I'll be doing that. I know. I gotta find where I put.
Lie. Do you know what lying is, Ben? When Andrew, after so many months of work, puts out the roster and asks you, "Have you got it yet?" You answer, "Yes, Andrew," and I'm very excited to start using it and see all the great work you've done. You don't say no.
And then you complain about all the overall ratings, which I've got terribly wrong.
And the shoes that I know you are on, so...
Yeah. Don't worry. You forget that I'm a PC modder for NBA Live, so I'll just edit my own with the shoes. Like, I edit my own colorways if they're wrong.
That's not how we do things. We complain.
Yeah. Well, I complain on console because you don't have those options.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I'm happy to complain for console, but with the PC stuff, I'll take care of it myself. So yeah, but no, but seriously, I still do have a lot of games on my laptop. I just am mainly trying to use this as a work device because 500 gig hard drive's not enough these days. So
yeah,
I mean, I've got to constantly back up things to my external hard drives and that. So
yeah, I know. Talking about hard drives, though, to move on slightly, SSD prices are finally getting to under $1 a gig. If you, for our listeners that aren't that tech savvy and don't know what SSD drives are, SSD drives are something like big flash drives. And what flash drives have over normal drives that have all those moving parts is that they're safer to use and they're much faster to use. For example, SSD drives have speeds at about half a gig as far as reading goes, 400 megabytes a second as far as writing goes, and amazingly random read speeds. So, you know, you can use them for you know, put Windows on them or whatever OS you're using and have your computer boot up, you know, nearly instantly. And they've been used in laptops as the latest laptops have been using both SSD and regular drives. They have small SSDs to have the OS in and use as a cache, and then have larger hard drives for you know, the data that you don't need to access that fast. For example, when you're watching a movie, you don't care about how fast your hard drive is because you're reading at a very slow pace, you know, half a megabyte a second, maybe a megabyte a second, but not more than that. But when you want your PC to boot up, you want it to boot up fast so that you can start working, you know, as soon as you press that button. And that's what, you know, one of the main uses for SSD. But they have been, like every new technology around, they have been very expensive to acquire. But I don't remember which company. I think it's Seagate that has finally put out hard drives that are nearly, not just hybrids, pure SSDs that are nearly a terabyte in size, and that are, the bigger you go, you get a better price per gig. And the biggest one that's nearly a terabyte is, I think, 60 cents to the gigabyte, which is a pretty good. It's still, you know, when you're talking about 60 cents to the gigabyte, it means you're getting a terabyte drive for $600, which is a pretty huge investment considering you can get a PC for that money. But, you know, for people that can actually make use of something like that, like extremely fast video editing, you know, it makes sense to have, you know, for things that keep huge caches like video editing and audio editing has, you know, it would make sense to have such big SSDs. And when you get them for 60 cents to the gig, you know, it's good that the prices are finally dropping and that they're going to become more accessible later on and help us get our computers, you know, boot up faster to get to the porn faster when we need it. So yeah, that's all the, I think we should stop being so technical about computers because we're going to lose all our audience and talk about something that people would be more familiar with. I'm not familiar with what's on the docket, for example, today. So, you know, I don't know. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about, or should I start going on about my trip?
Well, we had the some next gen news. Yeah. Well, you posted
okay.
earlier
okay.
with the last week's gaffe.
Yes,
by Adam Orth.
Yes,
who now is no longer with Microsoft.
Who didn't see that coming?
He, obviously, Microsoft dealt with it. So yeah, it's not 100% confirmed. Well, the rumor is he's resigned, but whether it was
it's what they always say.
Yeah, so. You know, whether it was a forceful resignation, it's not 100% known. But there was talks of it a couple of days ago, but they were whether it happened or not. But they were needing more than one. A lot of sites that were reporting on this needed more than one source to essentially confirm it. But it looks like it was confirmed today. that it's officially happened that he's no longer working for Microsoft. So, which is, I suppose, well, for his family, probably pretty upsetting.
Yeah. I mean, with all the Sadden Freud after his statements, you have to consider that he's still, you know, a person that needs a job to sustain his family. But, you know, if you accept that fact, you know, with him being a creative director at a company like Microsoft, you have to imagine that he has the CV to work, to get a job at another company pretty fast, you know?
Well, from what I've seen, he has had a history of working for EA and also LucasArts. I think he's accomplished, but
just has to wait till the controversy dies down.
Yes, so maybe 2014, maybe 2015.
let's hope he had a good agent and has been saving his money instead of spending it all.
Yes.
Well, Jay-Z's getting into the game, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. there's a spot for you in the NBA, my friend.
the memes have just been flying in.
One site alone that was sort of like one of the meme creators, generators and all that stuff, had 595 memes with his profile picture alone, his Twitter profile picture alone, created with different slogans and all that stuff. But it was absolutely hilarious how much this guy got ripped into. GameSpot, which I've never seen be so active, had over 16,000 posts from users and that from comments and stuff like that, which was crazy. IGN had over 8,000 as well, so he didn't do any good. And the fact that it actually had to force Microsoft to issue a statement regarding what he had said, you know that's not a good sign.
And the statement itself, I talked to you about this before we started recording, Ben, and mentioned it. The wording again, sorry if you were offended. We're sorry to people. And I hate that. I hate that phrasing.
Yeah. It's just like the regrettable thing you were talking about last week. About that quote. You know, it's the wording. You're making it worse.
Yeah. it didn't seem to have any heartfelt intent. And as Andrew talked to me earlier about it, it seems that it was more passing on the blame to the people who were offended by it. So, yeah, it was a poorly chosen way to apologize, if you could even call it that. It's more of an acknowledgement that something had happened. We'll probably leave it at that more than in a sense of an apology.
Yeah, there's a big difference between look, we're sorry for this offensive statement and we're sorry if you were offended.
Yeah,
it doesn't take responsibility for the thing, and I can understand them wanting to distance themselves from him because he has done them no favors at all. As one of the memes pointed out, Sony Employee of the Year.
Yeah.
I didn't like that wording or like the regrettable statement. It made me smirk a little.
Yeah.
But yeah, just so many memes, and he's either been fired or resigned, or you know, had a mutual breakup, or
he disappeared like Jimmy Hoffa.
We have so many memes coming out of the industry right now. I mean, there was I don't know, was he a director for SimCity that was interviewed saying that they're going to do what their best in making sure that they never that the servers never go down, and the interviewer asks, "Is that a promise?" And he smiles kind of awkwardly for a second and says, "That's a promise," you know. And
like,
then the
like
whole thing
Sheldon
happened.
Sheldon Cooper smile.
Yeah, that smile that you're literally forcing out of you. It was looking more like Chandler Bing in Friends trying to get a photo of him. You know, watch that episode where he makes that photo smile that doesn't look like a smile at all. Yeah, that was kind of what came out of that director or, you know, whatever he was. And I know it's his job to promise that they're going to do their best. And maybe they did, but, you know, it still happened. So you know, it's out there now. So yeah, it's kind of the same to have a meme born out of you because people were complaining about Always On and you said live with it. And then there's the whole thing that happened after that when I kind of dozed off. I'm still very exhausted from the drip. Sorry, Ben. I don't know if mentioned it. The other friend, the supposed friend of his that said, what if you live in so-and-so county in the U.S. where goes, internet
why would,
access
why
is
would very... I want to live there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I mean, that was even worse than the live with it statement.
Yeah,
and they both went on to say that it's just, you know, friendly jabs at each other. We're friends. We know each other. We're just messing with each other. But you're doing that publicly.
Yep.
And, I mean, people are going, even if you make that in the context of a joke, you're still employed by a company. You have that in your profile. You're making something that's out there public. It's not like it's just for you and your Facebook friends. It's not that people have to get your permission to follow you, which is a thing on Twitter. You can enable, you know, to have a private profile on Twitter as well.
Which has
you're
now been
that
done. He's now done that shortly.
Yeah,
just
now,
after
the fact. You know, but you're making public statements. And no matter how many times you put on your profile that my opinions are of my own and do not reflect Microsoft's opinion, if you're a creative director, you're pretty fucking high up the chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's implied.
Yeah, your opinions are Microsoft's opinion. It's not like you're an entry-level developer and that in most cases maybe nobody listens to you. Yeah, you're not bringing the coffee to the people working there. And so if you go, you know, guys, we shouldn't have Always Online. And people are going to say, yeah, how's your family going? It's not like that. You're the creative director. People are going to believe what you say is what the company says, because most of the times when you're the creative director, you have enough power to shift things around in the company. You know,
you are going
to
be the face of the company.
Yeah.
You can't be the creative. You can't be the creative director and say that no matter what I say, it's not Microsoft's opinion, because the Microsoft as an entity can make public statements all it wants, but it's still a company that has employees. And there's low-level employees and high-level employees. And as I said, creative director is pretty damn high.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not the right way to go about it. And it seems like every week we have, you know, someone that goes out of their way to mess their position they're in and, you know, go about things their own way. Thankfully.
And not to mention the whole project itself, because originally, supposedly, was going to be... Was it April 26th?
Yeah, April 26th press conference. That was the rumor that was supposed to, was going to be announced in the next couple of days and that. But it looks like it was from pretty much in almost solid confirmation. It's been delayed until May 21st for the announcement. So that
doesn't bode well, I mean.
No.
Microsoft, even the late April date was late.
Yeah.
I mean, you imagine that Microsoft, after the success that Xbox 360 had by coming out a year earlier than the PlayStation, they would have something to respond to any public event of Sony's that moment, that very same moment.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine that Microsoft would be putting up a live stream during Sony's press conference just to mess with them.
Just
to
steal the thunder, yeah.
Just to steal the thunder. But they didn't, and they're pushing back their event?
Yep.
You would imagine that for that to happen, they're trying to, I don't know, but I'm pulling stuff out of thin air, but, you know, are they trying to match their architecture? Did they realize that they've fallen behind and that they need to put something out there that's not going to be, you know, NBA Live 13?
Well,
I was actually going to compare it to the Malibu Stacy now with a new hat.
Yeah. Oh, best analogy ever. See, Adam Orth couldn't even come up with something like that.
I should be creative director of Microsoft. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
But take into account, okay, from the rumored specs and that I've seen with the next box, we'll call it that because we don't know if it's exactly going to be called 720 yet. Although there was a thing in that Real Steel movie where in the digital banners and that around the stadium, it did have Xbox 720 sort of in there.
Durango, sorry to interrupt, Ben, but
Durango, the code name. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's one of those code names. Yeah, I was about to say that. It's one of those code names that's better than any supposed final name. It's one of those code names that you want to see on the final product. Durango is pretty cool sounding, if you ask me.
Like even Project Orbis, which was PlayStation 4's parent code name.
Yeah, it's better than PlayStation 4.
You know, there's a little bit more to it. I suppose the whole Nintendo Wii Revolution sort of thing. Yeah, so, I mean, I prefer...
mean, Nintendo has set the bar pretty low. Anything is going to be better than Wii name-wise.
True. But,
you could still name it, you know, Xbox Too Sexy for My Cat, and it would be better than Nintendo Wii.
Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
Blue Harvest 2013.
Yeah. Blue Ivory 2013.
Well, Jay-Z would want to snap up as much money from that as he could, so be like copywriting that name.
Maybe
he'll
be executive producer of the whole thing.
Yeah, he's Nintendo's Mark Cerny.
All these swivels and golden equalizers all around the Xbox Live dashboard, you know.
That's just depressing. Yep.
You know, each time you start a game, you get a mixture of the game's trailer and Jay-Z performing live, stuff like that, to pump you up, you know, on to the next one, and stuff like that.
Same movie, dog.
It's ridiculous. I just have to mention that since we're bringing up Jay-Z, and I forgot to say that the previous time. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, Ben, constantly, but I know, you know.
It's all right.
That's why.
I know you missed last week, so you're trying to... Yeah. Catch up for last time, so it's all good.
I went to the Warriors Jazz game, and I'm so sorry that the Jazz are a full game behind the Lakers right now. I was a homer, obviously. I was a tourist, so I supported the Warriors with all my heart. I had no voice after the game from all the screaming I did, but it was a close game, so I was lucky to have experienced a close game at that. And as much as I was disappointed to see the Warriors lose, I was happy at the same time because I was watching the Clippers beat the Lakers and the Jazz, you know, winning at the same time, which was a pretty good combination considering I so want the Lakers to ridicule themselves this year. But what amazed me was that I heard two songs, one in the pregame sequence and one during a timeout, straight out of 2K13, and
really?
that was amazing. The pregame sequence song I heard was "Blow the Whistle," and during a timeout, I heard "I Ain't No Joke," which aren't, you know, new songs that 2K13 brought to the table. They're old songs, but in all the broadcasts I've watched, I've never heard those songs before.
It was probably. The DJ
maybe a
could have been
to TK being a California studio, you know, something like that. I don't know,
but I know it could have been even the DJ was a bit bored while watching the game, so he loaded up 2K and jacked in the audio and things, so he was playing it straight from that.
At some point, you know, I wanted to make a joke about the commentators of 2K13 and I've forgotten all their names.
Kevin Harlan.
I mean,
Clark Kellogg.
I'm exhausted. You know, at some point you're hearing Kevin Harlan introduce the Lakers from the stadium speakers, and you know everyone goes, "Well, what's going on?" It was cool. I mean, it was funny, and at the same time, it was cool to hear 2K13 songs play while I'm in the Oracle Arena. But yeah, it was a great experience. Yeah, but. No, enough of a parenthesis. Back to Next Gen Talk. Anything else you want to mention, Ben? Because I know you've been following this stuff pretty close.
No worries. Well, damn it, now I've lost my train of thought. Damn you,
Leopard.
No, I've got it. Okay. It was regarding the 360 or the Durango's architecture. I've sort of seen different sort of spec things, and apparently, like with the PS4, they're using DDR5 or GDDR5. I've seen spec sheets for the Durango where it's still only using GDDR3. So there's a slight area where they're losing out on. There's been other reports where the Durango's staying is going to either be x64 or x68 CPU and stuff as well. So there's sort of been
There's no such thing as x68.
I mean 64. Sorry, I misspoke.
Okay,
64. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I missed
64 and 86.
Yes, yes. So there's been mixed reports whether it'd be x64 or an x68. So.
Did it again.
Fuck. Sorry.
Yeah. Either 32-bit or 64-bit or the combination of the, that the PlayStation 4
64 and 86. Is that right now?
Okay.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay, you can edit my little swearing bit out.
But it won't be funny.
I'm tired too. I've been
I'm sure you had an 18-hour trip to get back to your home that got exhausted.
No, I just had a basketball game and hadn't slept.
Wine, bitch.
All right. Well, we waited an extra hour for you, so.
Aww, that's nice. No, you didn't. We waited an extra hour for you. You did? You waited up for me?
Yeah, we did.
I mean, I was up, you know, at around the time that we were supposed to get together to record, but, you know, I just fell asleep after a while. I was that exhausted. I mean, I was up, you know, with Skype on and, you know, Facebook on to make sure that if you send me a message, I'll get it. And at some point, I just fell asleep again. I can't compose myself. I've changed so many time zones in the range of a week. That my body's has just gone on strike. You know, it
your body's not ready.
Yeah, my body's not ready. I'm just like Derrick Rose. You know, the doctors have cleared me, but I'm not coming back.
You're basically making Ron Artest sense.
I want to make sure that I'm not doing my ACL anytime now. You know, I mean, Gallinari went down as well with an ACL.
Yep, we covered that.
I know.
Before you came.
We covered that. Yeah. Yeah, I know Andrew must have been pretty disappointed about that.
What's that with Gallo going down with the...
With the tournament. Yeah. Anyway, but again, next in news, anything else? You know, we still have no solid confirmation about anything from Microsoft.
That's true.
You know, the fact, you know, not the fact, but the rumor that it's going to be always online seems to be getting verified from more and more sources right now.
Yeah,
I would imagine that since you know Sony never made an announcement of anything like that Microsoft would have to go down the same path, or it would be shooting itself in the foot after the disasters we've seen with Always On in the past.
That's true.
Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
That's right. I just wanted to check. Did I mention that part of the whole concern in regards to the whole online issue is the fact that the Kinect 2.0 or the next Kinect 2 or whatever it's going to be called is also always on in a sense? Like, it's constantly working?
Yeah, I've read people are having valid privacy concerns about that.
Yeah, you know, the whole
mean, if the
Big
Kinect
Brother...
is always on... Yeah, if the Kinect is always on, can you really, really know? And that you know crosses the line to conspiracy. But can you really, really know when it's recording you?
Yeah.
Because a system that has a camera and that can be always on can just as easily be hacked. You know, I was reading up a piece on you know pieces of malware that not only give hackers full access to your PC, but they can remotely activate your webcam. And why, you know, there's the common recommendation going around that when you're not using the webcam, you need to have it disconnected from your PC. If the Kinect is going to be always on and the console itself is going to be always on the web, I mean, You're just begging for people to be up in arms about stuff like that. It's not a good combination. It's a terrible combination, if you ask me.
Yeah, and it's a foot in the grave in ending their dominance in the console market and that.
I mean, I Microsoft would really have to match Sony both in specs and the approach to the customer. And Microsoft is going all the wrong way about this right now if their ports are, you know, are close to being true. I don't know. Maybe they have enough time by May 21st, was it?
May 21st to
make enough changes to their architecture of the thing to, you know, maybe, you know, try to get some of the people that are already being disappointed before the first announcement, you know, maybe get some of them back. But I don't know. I mean, they're not going about it the right way right now.
No. The whole thing, like, with the whole timing and the whole delay, it makes it sort of brings back memory of the scenes in The Simpsons where Lisa forgets to do one of her assignments and she quickly just puts the thing together and she makes, like, a pig out of, like, an eraser and some thumbtacks and cleaning wire and stuff like that with a little curly tail and that. So that's what that whole sort of situation seems like. It's like they didn't expect the architecture that the PS4 had, and the whole Adam Moore situation just really threw them off guard.
Well, that's just given me the idea for the perfect name for the new console. You know, forget 720, forget Durango. It is the Microsoft Eraser Pig. Deal with it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No,
I guess we're going to continue to speculate until they actually give us something. But all the signs, everything that leaks, just seems to be more troubling news.
Yeah. And I don't know. I've been with a few experiences I've had with both Xbox 360 and the Sony PlayStation 3. You know, I've been more of an Xbox guy because Sony actually went out of its way to remove features after the fact with mandatory firmware updates. And, you know, it's stuff like that pisses me off. And Microsoft at least had that one over Sony that it approached its customers better. But now, you know, with their plans for 720, I don't know. They're thinking that if Sony managed to be dicks about it and managed to be so successful, maybe we can as well. I don't know what they're thinking. We'll see how that goes. Yep. But anyway, we should be pretty far in the recording, so we should be, you know, trying to see what else is on the docket and wrap up. How long have you guys been recording before I joined?
We've got about 12, 14 minutes before we hit our usual 2.5
Okay,
minutes.
Okay. So, yeah, we don't want to go any further than that. Ben,
I got about another 3 minutes on something.
Okay, go.
In regards to it, there's apparently, with the new Kinect and all that stuff, it has, they basically want to make it the entertainment hub that the 360 was starting to become in that. And apparently, with the new Kinect 2.0, whatever they're going to call it, it recognizes, like, the new Samsung Galaxy S4 and all that, like, if your face turns away from the screen, and it will, if you're watching a TV program or a movie or something like that, it'll automatically pause until you turn your head back and face the screen and stuff. So, you know, if there's multiple people in the room, people are already finding ways to exploit that and sort of basically piss off their friends
There must be a way to disable it because everyone is going to watch TV from an angle that Kinect will have it in their sensors. And Kinect, again, you know, has a limited sensory processing power, so it's going to track a limited amount of people. So when you have a lot of friends over for a game or something, you know, Kinect is going to have some hard times keeping up with everyone, so you don't want it messing with your TV because someone turned around and that someone was in Kinect trained.
So yeah, you could just imagine, like, you're watching some good movie and then just someone just being a total twit about it and doing, like, when Homer Simpson becomes the leader of the Stone cutters and all that stuff, and he keeps coming in and getting
running
it,
yeah,
and everyone's bowing and all that stuff, and he's doing little dances. So yeah, it'd be.
But forget trying to mess with your friends. If you just accidentally turn away from the screen to cough or something, and suddenly you've paused the movie for everyone.
I don't know. We'll see. Again, this is all speculation. I mean, maybe it works better than we expect. I mean, I was listening back to some of our early podcasts, and man, did NBA 2K13 surprise us positively. We were being so pessimistic about it. You know, we were expecting 2K to do all the wrong things because, you know, we were thinking that NBA 2K12 was a testament to how complacent they had gotten and how, you know, how it had so many problems that proved that maybe they weren't working on it as much as they should. But, you know, we ended up being so positively impressed after the fact, so that Microsoft still has a chance, you know, to set all our doubts and come out with an impressive, you know, console, even if, you know, the speculation so far isn't in its favor. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, we still have about 6 weeks before the conference happens, and Sony can still manage, you know, still has 6 weeks to come out with more impressive stuff. Yep. To preempt Microsoft and keep Microsoft in trouble trying to play catch up. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to watch this whole console battle, you know, unfold.
There was a rumor that Sony were going to announce more stuff, like in another press conference, just a couple of days before the rumored April one, and they
it
might do it in May.
It makes sense. It's what we expected Microsoft to do.
Yeah,
preempt Sony and steal Sony's thunder. So Sony has more than enough reason to do the same thing to Microsoft. It's their game now. It's their game this year. They've managed to come out first, come out in an impressive manner, and they're obviously going to have the most information out and the console out first from, you know, what we're expecting to happen. So it's Sony's game, and Microsoft has to play catch-up and manage to be just as impressive. We'll see how it goes. It's definitely an interesting time.
Again, more stories this week of indie developers not being happy with working with Microsoft as opposed to Sony.
Developers?
Yeah.
You mean indie developers? Indie developers?
Yeah, indie.
Okay, because you concatenated those words and just said indie developers.
Oh, sorry. and like one of the situations was, I think it's the guy that made The Witness, he's doing that Witness game for PS4. His studio tried having one of their games up, but because they allotted so many slots per week for Xbox Live, there was all this ring around, and he made some comments and all that, and basically Microsoft pulled the game off for about 6 months or before it was launched and all that. There was basically all this 6 months of renegotiation, and had to go through another publisher and all that stuff to get his game was slotted into the one of those allocated release weeks and all that stuff. And the other developers describe like working with Sony is more like having a conversation in like a coffee shop as opposed to this whole corporate room intimidation factor. Another developer is saying that when Xbox Live put up their game, they only put it up for $10 when the game was supposed to actually be for $15. So that hurt the developers' profits as well.
Yeah, and the developers have been complaining about Microsoft's process with as far as patches are concerned. I mean, Xbox had the better patch platform because it used Delta patches. You only had to download the bits that were changed in the files, so patches ended up being just a few megabytes big, while PlayStation didn't have anything like that, and it wasn't added throughout the lifetime of the console, so patches ended up being gigabytes big, and, you know, took a lot of time to download, and that was one of the major woes with PlayStation, the amount of updates and their size, and how long it took you to actually get into the game.
Yeah.
But Xbox had the better patch platform, but managed to piss off developers, because it had all those requirements for patches and the ridiculous amount of money to get a patch in the approval process and stuff like that. I mean, it's it's like there's no perfect platform for developers, and it doesn't seem to like there's ever going to be one unless Sony has learned from its mistakes and makes sure that it has a better platform, remains as friendly to developers as it was, and protects the PlayStation Network much better.
Yeah.
That's going to be a major factor as far as, you know, customer trust goes as well, you know? And, you know, Microsoft has to be pretty damn safe about security as well, because people are going to be concerned if the console is constantly connected to the internet.
And with the OS.
Maybe we have routers that have us constantly connect to the internet, but if you shut down your PC, it's not like someone will remotely turn it on, you know? But they wouldn't want, and consoles are going to be constantly in this low power state so that they can boot up instantly as well. But, you know, people aren't that familiar. Maybe, you know, when your console is turned off, there's no way for people to get access to it. But people are going to feel unsafe because it's a big transition. It's another thing that's going to be always connected to the internet. And after the failures of PlayStation Network, Sony was right in order not to go down that path, not to have always on, because who would trust them? I mean, you know, your information got hacked 3 times, but still we want the console to be connected to the internet and to our servers at all times. You know, nobody would trust them, so it was the right path to take. I don't know why Microsoft was the better track record with Xbox Live security that made them feel like they can go always on. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be an interesting. It's going to be an interesting battle between those two companies, and you know, but you know, we can all agree that, you know, with all the speculation going around the Xbox, PlayStation seems to be the more enticing console right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just have to look that a lot of developers are adding exclusive content only for the PlayStation, like a lot of the Ubisoft games, like with Assassin's
but
Creed,
that's
including
not, that's
an
not,
extra.
That's not,
I know
Ben,
it's
let's not compare apples and oranges. It only takes the right amount of money to get someone to be exclusive.
I know, it doesn't take
a better platform.
But it's a nice little gesture in that sense. They're willing to give extra gameplay for that exclusive console and all that. So.
Yeah, but again, it's not a nicety factor. It's a factor that's going to get more sales for them, because exclusivity is never good. I mean, let's agree on that. Just like exclusive licenses aren't good, it's the same thing with exclusive consoles, with games being exclusive to one console. The other console doesn't get them. It's good for the console manufacturers. It's not good for the consumer, you know?
Yeah. I can understand
that. Yeah, it's the same argument we've been making about games being console exclusive. I mean, not just exclusive to one console, but having the PC excluded as a platform. You know, it's the same exact argument. So I know PlayStation, Sony has been going about the right way about PlayStation, but let's not compare apples and oranges. And I think with that note, on that note, it's about time to wrap up.
Yeah. Yep. So, did you want to tell us about your trip?
No. I'm keeping that. There's not enough time. I have a lot of funny stories to talk about, and I'm going to wait until next week and maybe, you know, tie the trip with a big announcement that I want to make, hopefully by then. We'll see.
Okay. Sure.
We could dedicate a whole hour and a half to Leftos' trip next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Andrew, do the honors.
Yep, so that's going to wrap it up for episode number 25 of the NLSC podcast. We hope that it lived up to the hype as the silver edition. We, having left us as a surprise return halfway through, that was a surprise to us as well. We didn't plan that one at all. So we hope you enjoyed listening. As always, subscribe to us on YouTube. Wow.
Channeling a bit of Jasmine right now, Andrew. Are you, you know, youtube.com/Jasmine? Subscribe to us. We have all the tutorials you're going to need. Funny Let's Plays, everything.
we'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
But,
among other things.
While you're there, also check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Let's see. Follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theNLSC. Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Ooh.
Or Blueberry. There you go. I got it right. Yay for me. Or continue streaming it on NBA-live.com, where you'll find all kinds of mod releases, the latest gaming news, opinions, columns, the whole works. We're fantastic. You know that already, though.
Yeah.
Once again, that'll do it. I'm Andrew.
I'm Leftos.
And I'm Arcane, who just didn't get Jedi Mind Trick by Jasmine.
Catch you next